Today's daf, Masechet Shkalim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Tet Zayin. And we've gotten up to, we've just finished Tzchach Shehu Kikirui, and now we're continuing on with the Brisa we mentioned before. We talked about all of these stories about how the Aron had been hidden. It's all started, remember, with the extra Hishtach Avoya that's mentioned in the Mishnah, number 14. So there was a question. There was a Mesera, that some had the Mesera, that the Aron was Nignaz in Keneged, the Lishkas HaEitzim. We brought a couple of stories of Kohanim that had been noticing that something was amiss in the floor of the Lishkas HaEitzim. But we're going to see that it's a lot more complicated than that. Now, the reason that it's complicated is because, remember, we had the Shita before that said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that all of the Kalim are Ma'akev the Korbanos. So that if the Aron wasn't in its Mokim, you wouldn't be allowed to bring a Korban, right? According to that Shita. So then how do you explain the fact that after the Zman of Yoshiyahu, where the Aron was Nignaz, that they continued to bring Korbanos? So this really is part of today's complex sugya. So first of all, we have a much broader discussion, which we had also in the Yuma. So Mishenignaz Ha'aron, Nignazimo Tzinzenet Haman, Sluchis of Shemen HaMishcha, Maklo Shel Aaron, together with Brachav Ushkedav. So a number of things that were meant to be put away L'dorotechem, and were told that put it in front of the Aron Bris Hashem. So that was, remember, there was a Tzinzenet Haman, where over there HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, take one Tzinzenet, kach Tzinzenet Achat, v'ten shama l'om eman, v'anachoto l'ifnei Hashem, l'mishmeret l'dorotechem. So because of that, mishmeret, we are also able to make a gzeras hakosov in other places where it says to put something aside for a mishmeret, or where it says l'dorotechem, that it also means that it was put together with the Aron HaBris. Because of that, the tzluchis shemen hamishcha was also put there for the same reason, because it says l'dorotechem. So that must have been put away at the same time that the Aron was put away. The makloi shel Aron, that was the simen, that it was his forever. So there too, it says l'mishmeret. It says beferish, same lotion. Mishmeret means that they must have put in front of the Aron. Then there was also the argaz sheshivu plishtim asham l'Elohei Yisrael. So after the mice that we spoke about just now, that the plishtim captured the Aron HaBris. So remember, they had these crazy gift of pictures of hemorrhoids. It was an absolutely astounding, weird gift. And because of that, they made that into an osham, together with the mice and the pictures of their rear ends. I mean, the whole thing is a bit crazy. But that was the osham that they gave to show what it was that the Aron had done to them. And they put it next to the Aron. So because of that, that was all nice that happened, that the Aron, that the Aglach and Hashah brought the Aron back directly, and they were singing as they went. Oh, an incredible story. So that was also kept there together with the Aron HaBris. And then when all of these things were hidden, they were hidden together. Miganazo, Yoshio HaMelech was the one that was gonez. Because remember, Yoshio was the one in whose reign they discovered the Sefer Torah that was open inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it said, it was open to the Pesuk of Yoleich Hashem Yischov Es Malkecho Asher Takim Alecha El Goya Shelo Yadata Atav Avotecha. So he saw that it was imminent that they were going to come, and they were going to carry away the Malchus and the Klei HaMikdash. So Omdad, immediately he got up, and he was Genez it, Hada Hudechziv, and that explains the weird Pesuk that we have, which he calls to the Levim, HaMevinim L'cho Yisrael HaKadoshim LaHashem. It's a very weird way to introduce the Levim, wouldn't you say? I mean, as if we didn't know the Levim were. So he calls the Levim, who are the ones who are teaching everybody, and they are Kodesh LaHashem, T'nu et Aron HaKodesh, B'bayit Asher Bana Shlomo Ben David Melech Yisrael. Now, what in the world does this mean? The Aron has been in the Bayit Asher Bana Shlomo Ben David Melech Yisrael for the past 400 years. So why is he telling the Levim to put the Aron in the Bayit Asher Bana Shlomo? And then he tells them, and you know, from this point forwards, Ein Lechem Masah B'Katef, you're not going to have to carry the Aron. Carry the Aron? They only carried the Aron at the Mishkan. What? The whole Pasuk is so strange. What could it mean? So therefore, we understand it to mean like this. Amar lehem, im golehu im achem lebavel, you should know that if chas v'chalila, you don't hide the Ara now, and it ends up being taken to Bavel together with you, you're never going to bring it back. Ein lechem asav ha-katev. Ein atem achzirim oto od lemekomo. You will never have an opportunity of bringing the Ara back to the Beis HaMikdash. Ela, therefore, what I say to you is, atayiv duet Hashem lokechem et amo Yisrael, you do what you got to do. Now this is an understanding that is very different. Because according to this, the Bayit Asher Bana Shlomo was a special place that had been built for the Orein that was considered also to be Mikomo. That's why it says the place that Shlomo HaMelech built for it. But Bayit Asher Bana Shlomo Ben David Melech Yisrael. So that means that according to Reb Yehuda, the Bayit included two possible places for the Aron HaBris. And it was considered to be Bimikomo. So therefore, if the Aron was hidden, and it was hidden underneath the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in a special underground chamber that was Makbil to the Mokum of the Aron that was on top of the ground, so then apparently he held that they could continue to bring Korbanes. Now this is totally different from the approach that there was just a place that they subsequently dug out. This meant, we'll see later on, that Shlomo HaMelech saw Alpi the Nevius that was given over to him and had to build the Beis HaMikdash. This was part of that original plan. Now that we've mentioned the Shemen HaMishcha, let's point out that the Shemen HaMishcha that was hidden together with the Orein is, very surprisingly, the very same Shemen HaMishcha that had been made by Moshe Rabbeinu. This, despite the fact that the Shemen HaMishcha was only 12 lugim, and it had been used for so many things throughout the years, including the Mashiach of all of the Kohanim Gedolim, up until the point that Yoshiyahu hid it, and the Malachim that needed Mashiach. And nonetheless, that same bottle was still there. So we start off with the entire...
We have a bottle for liquid. How long will Rebbe's bottle last? Rebbe's not getting any break.
Barnea, I am in very bad shape this morning, and I am doing my best to maintain a rhythm of being able to say it over without fainting. So give me an opportunity. Give me a break. I'll try my best. Okay, I haven't been able to drink anything for 24 hours, so I have to take it very, very slow. Okay, sorry. So the pitum of the Shemen HaMishcha is, like it says in the pasuk, V'ata kach lecha b'samim rosh, mor dror chamesh meos, kinamon bosem, machtziso chamishim u'matayim, u'knei bosem chamishim u'matayim. Now over here, the Yerushalmi argues with the Bavli. The Rambam does not paskin like this Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi understands that machtzito does not mean half of the full amount of the kinamon is 250, but rather the kinamon should be half of the amount of the mor dror, so that it was really only 250 in total, in which case the total amount that was available here of the different ingredients was 1,500 manim. According to the Bavli, the 250 was only said on the last part, knebosim chamishim u'matayim. But the kinamon was actually chamesh meot. Okay, but according to the Yerushalmi, we have a total of 1,500 monim. Now, that means that 1,500 monim is like an enormous amount of ingredients. And yet the only shemen that was mentioned is shemen zayit hin. That's crazy. A shemen zayit hin is a total of 12 lug. Now, how in the world can 12 lug, which is about the size of a U.S. gallon, according to Reb Chaim Noah, how in the world could that be used to boil up all of these things? It doesn't make any sense. So it says over here that this Shema Sarlog, Shabo Shokinat Ikarim, you boil up the Ikarim in these 12, which is like really strange. The Gemara in Uriah says Shokin, it says Shorin. Okay, but even that doesn't make sense. So over here, if you're going to actually boil it, so Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda says, you got to be kidding. There's no way you can possibly even fit it into it. What they did first was they shokan b'mayim, the Rambam paskins shoran. You allow clear water. They allow them to be actually washed off by water round and round, and the water absorbs all of the spice. And then, noten shemen al gabbein, which according to Rashi in the Bavli means you put the oil on top of the ingredients after they've been boiled. According to the Rambam means you put the shemen on top of the water, and the shemen, you then boil the whole thing. The water boils away, leaving the residue in the shemen. Now that makes a heck of a lot of sense. And that, so after all of the essence of the spices are out, which we're calling the reyach, so then you take off the oil, and that's exactly the way the rokhim do it when they make perfume. And that's why it Gufa says, shemen mishchas kodesh merkachat maaser rokeach, right? So it says, shemen mishchas kodesh rokeach merkachat maaser rokeach. Why does he keep stressing that? Because that's the only way to possibly utilize yud bin hin, yud beis hin. Tony, to the Braisa says that Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi says the shemen hamishcha sha'asa Moshe ba'midbar was from beginning to end kulo meisenis. There's no way to understand that b'derech hateva. Mitchila v'atzov. Because, first of all, we started off with shnei masar lug. Because it says, shemen zayatin. If you wanted to use 12 lugin just to smear it over the ingredients, there's no way that you could have done that, okay? So, im lasuch bo et ha'ikarim, lo haya bo sefek. That wouldn't have been enough. Kol sheken, if we let it soak or we boiled it, halachas kama v'kama, where the boiling would have absorbed some of that oil, and the roots of the actual spices and the wood of the spices would have absorbed oil, and the pot that we were cooking it in would have absorbed oil. So how much do you think could possibly have been left? U'mimenu nimshechu ha-mishkan v'chol kelav. And that was the only time that the shemen ha-mishcha was made. It was needed for the mishkan and every last piece of the mishkan. So each one of the kreshim, each one of the adonim, each one of the little hooks, everything had to have mishicha. Plus, you needed to do the shulchan v'chokelav, the shulchan itself. Think about how many different parts were on the shulchan for the various kanim and the holders of that. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then ha-menorah v'chokelav. Plus, you needed to do every single day, this needed to be done, including Aaron and Aaron's children. And this was done afterwards throughout all of the deres. Every Kohen Gadol was Nimshach, up until Yoshiyahu's time. And all of the Malachim that needed Mashiach, which we'll talk about which ones need Mashiach, all of the Malachim, and they still use the same Yud Beis Lugin. Now, when it comes to Melachim, there's a big difference between Melachim and Kohanim, because a Melech, only the first Melech of a family, so like David HaMelech, needs Mashiach, but all of the Melachim from Bnei David do not need Mashiach. We're going to talk about why. Why then do we find Mashiach? We'll talk about it in a moment. But a Melech ben Melech does not require Mashiach. My Taima, now this Pasuk is a big problem, because the Gro takes it out. Because later on, this pasuk is going to be used to tell me something entirely different, namely that you do not do mishicha for a melech that's not from the mishpachas beis David. So therefore, the Gro puts in the pasuk that's brought in the Bavli, and that pasuk is hu uvno. So it says beferish that hu uvno kol hayamim. That means that the mishicha will be good for kol hayamim and including his son. Not this pasuk. But the way we have the girsa is that zeh ta'un mashicha ve'ein b'no ta'un mashicha. We'll see later on, our Gemara itself brings the other usage of this. But a kohen gadol, ben kohen gadol, beferish, it says ha-kohen ha-mashuach tachtav mi-banav. So obviously there needs to be mashicha, even for kohen ben kohen. And that's gufa because there is no din that a kohen gadol's son is Yoresh his position, the way that a Melech is Yoresh Ben Melech is Yoresh the Melech, if he fits, so we give him the first option, but it's not the same as the Malchus. So over there, a Kohen Gadol, Ben Kohen Gadol, I don't care even if the Kihuna Gedol has been in the family for 10 generations, you're still going to require Mashiach in the next generation. And after all of this usage of the Shemen HaMishcha, Kulo Kayam Latid Lavo, the same 12 lug is going to be there for the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. Hadohu Dechtiv Shemen Mishchash Kedesh Yeze Lila Dorotech. Ze is Begematria Yud Beis, and those same Yud Beis are going to be available for Mashiach Tzidkenu. Ein Moshkin HaMlachim El Al Gabe HaMayan. There's also another special din for Malachim. And that is that in order that there should be a simen, that the Malchus should be Nimshechet Kimayan, we bring them down to a spring. Because Dovid HaMelech said to take Shlomo, Yirkavtem et Shlomo b'ni ala pirda sheli, v'oratim oto el gichon, v'mashach oto sham tzadok ha-kohen, v'natan ha-navi, v'melech ha-yisrael. So then, why did they need Mashiach? I thought we just said that a Melech ben Melech doesn't need Mashiach. So the Gemara now explains. We said before that ain Mashkin Melech ben Melech, but the only time we would is if there's a machloket. So Ela mipnei machloket, and indeed, mipnei ma nimshach Shlomo. So why did Shlomo HaMelech need Mashiach, like we just learned? That was because Adonio had set himself up to be the Melech. So mipnei machlokuto shel Adonio, we needed to be koveya, that the real Melech was the one who had the Shemen HaMishcha. And why was Yoash Nimshach? Yoash, after all, was a ben achar ben and so on to David. That's because Ataliah had killed out the whole family and she took over, right? So afterwards, when they saved him, that was Yosheva who saved him, so they actually had to do the Mashiach to show everybody this is the real Melech, and that's when they went and they killed Ataliah. And what about Yehoahaz? But Yehoahaz was also a ben achar ben, and he was the son of Yoshio. So why did he require a Mashiach? That's because since Yehoyakim, his brother, was 2 years older than him, and Bepashtas, the Malchus, would have gone to the older one. So therefore, they had to make a Mashiach specifically for him, so everyone should know that that is what they were doing as the real Malchus. Obviously, the immediate question that presents itself is why didn't we say that for Shlomo? Because Shlomo had plenty of brothers who were much older than him, right? Because Batsheva was not David HaMelech's first wife. That seems to be, we need to come on to Adonio, because Shlomo HaMelech was Nimshach, remember, Al Pinovi. So Al Pinovi, it's a whole different issue. It's only because of the Machloket. Hashem came to Yehoahaz and Yehoyakim was because what they felt politically was the correct thing to do. Now, why was Yehu?
It was also decided by the people as opposed to where David had clearly indicated his Ratzon before. David had clearly beforehand said Shlomo's the one. You see that in Dibrei Yomim.
Yeah.
Here the people chose who to anoint with no directive from the father.
Okay, that's also a good point. Very good. You could tie it that Adonio had an awful lot of people. Okay, yeah, fine. So that was enough to count to the people. Why was Yehu Nimshach? Now, of course, Yehu being Nimshach does not seem to have anything to do with the issue over here, because Yehu was not part of Malchus Beis David. Yehu, basically, he was from the Aseres HaShvatim, and the reason that he was Nimshach was specifically because Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Elisha to make Yehu the king instead of Yehoram, because Yehoram did not do what he was supposed to do. So Yehu was meant to destroy Beis Achav. So later on we're going to say that this is a problem. And indeed, the Raisa asks, wait a minute, how could Yehu have been Nimshach? Doesn't it say Kum Mishachehu? Kizehu. Now, this is the pasuk that the Gra points out is the correct usage for the pasuk of Zeh. Zeh to un Mashiach, ve'ein Malchei Yisrael to unim Mashiach. I'm not really sure that I like your pshat so much, Barnea. Because the whole point was, Enei ko Yisrael alacha, to see who you want. And if it's what you're saying, so then they could have been semech on the original promise to Batsheva. Apparently the Enei ko Yisrael were not persuaded that that was who he wanted. Anyway, so how is it that we gave the Shemen HaMishcha to Yehu? If you use the Shemen HaMishcha for someone that is not meant to be used on, you're over on an Isser Gadol plus Me'ila. How are you allowed to use the Shemen HaMishcha for political purposes? Lo ken ksiv, kum mishachayu ki zehu, ze ta'un mishicha, ve'in malchei Yisrael tu'unim mishicha. And then I got another problem. You also said that Yehoahaz was nimshach because the excuse was that Yehoiakim was 2 years older than him. But there was no Shemen HaMishcha in that time, because we just said before that his father, Yoshiyahu, was the one who hid the Orein, and when he hid the Orein, he hid the Shemen HaMishcha together with the Orein. So how in the world did they have the Shemen HaMishcha to be Mosheach Yehoahaz, v'lo Yoshiyahu Genazo? So from here we see, Hada Amra, that when we said there was Mishicha, it does not mean Mishicha with the Shemen HaMishcha. It means Mishicha with a symbolic Shemen HaMishcha. So they used pure Shemen Afar Simon, which was very, very valuable, and that became a symbol of the equivalent of the Mishicha. That was the pshat that Elisha was told to be Mosheach. But it did not use the actual Shemen HaMishcha. Another halacha is that the Melachim were only Mosheach Melachim from the time of David, from a Keren. A Keren is a symbol of longevity. So, as the Karno Tatzmiach, the sense of the permanence of something is its Keren, such that it continues to flow. Shol, if you note that Shol, both Shol and Yehu, it says Beferish over there that they used a Pach of Shemen. The Shol, they used a Pach of Shemen from Yehu. So both of them, their malchus did not last. And I tell Malchutan Malchut Overet, and it says Pferish over there, Vayikar Shmuel as a Pach, and it says to Elisha, it says Volakatka Pach Shemen, and in both of those cases, it was a temporary malchus. This is the beautiful drasha about Shchana in the Bavli that says that Jesus specifically mentions Rama Karni Ba'ashem. Rama Karni V'lo Rama Pachi. So my son Shmuel, one melech used a pach, and one melech used a keren. Rama Karni Ba'ashem was that the melech that my son Shmuel utilized the keren for was Malchus based of it. That becomes the Malchus Li'olam. So, okay, but that only went into effect after Malchus based of it. So David Shlomo Nimshechu Min HaKeren, and indeed Aita Malchutan, Malchut Kayemet. Another thing is that Ein Moshchin Kohanim Melachim. You cannot make a king who's a kohen. Omer Rebbe Yehuda Antundaria. How do we see that? Al Shem Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda. But Reb Chiya Barada said, no, that's a general thing. Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda is true about any Shevet. But, as the Ramban explains, that's only on a permanent basis. And that was one explanation of the Ramban as to why it was that the Maccabim were destroyed. He says it was Mida Kineged Mida, because they were over on Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda. So they should have immediately given the Malchus back, and since they attempted to be Koveya it as something permanent, so because of that it was Mida Kineged Mida that their Avodim took over their Malchus, the same way that they should have been Avodim to Malchus based David. But then the Ramban there in Bereshis, the Ramban brings, after Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda, he brings this next Yerushalmi, in which Om Reb Chiya Barada, that's not the reason. The other Shvatim you're allowed to appoint temporarily, but Levi you cannot even appoint temporarily. So therefore, says Ramban, it could be that they had no right to be Melachim even for a day, because it says, Laman Yarich Yamim Amamlachto, Hu Ubanav Bekerev Yisrael, which is the original pasuk that the Gra put in instead of Zeh. And the next pasuk is, lo yiyeh lekohanim leviim chelek v'nachama. So if we put the two together, it means that there's a specific iser on Shevet Levi, not only to have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, but to have a chelek even for a moment in Malchus Yisrael. In which case, it could be that the entire Malchus HaMakabim was born in sin, says the Ramban, from the very beginning. And that would explain why such horrible things happened to them. Okay, so we said before that Yehoahaz, he came after Yoshiyahu, even though he was the second in line, right? Now, there's a little bit of a problem here, and that is that in Devre Hayamim, it talks about the children of Yoshiyahu, and it's got an entirely different approach to the children of Yoshiyahu. What it says over there is, Uvnei Yoshiyahu, Habachor Yochanan. We never heard of Yochanan. Hasheni Yehoyakim, Hashlishi Tzidkiyahu, Harevi Shalom. So now, if Yoshiyahu had a child, Yochanan, who was the Bechor, then how do we say that the older son's name, according to this, we said that Yoachaz was there because the Yoyakim was older than him. But here it says Yochanan. I don't understand. I'm so confused. You said Yoachaz, rather, was the older one. Says Rabbi Yochanan, yes, that's true. Yoachaz is Yochanan. Note that the name Yoachaz doesn't appear among the four sons, because that name is the same as Yochanan. It says the first one is Yochanan, but that means that Yoachaz was the oldest, and you claimed in the Bryce a minute ago that Yoachaz was 2 years younger than Yoyakim. So how does it help you to say that Yoachaz was the Bechor if then it's going to be connected to Brisa that says that Yoachaz was 2 years younger than Yoyakim? So then Yoyakim had to be the Bechor. But over here it says, Hasheni Yoyakim. Well, says Rabbi Yochanan, when it says he's the Bechor, he meant he was the first one to become Melech. That's what it means. So he was the Bechor LaMalchut. It doesn't mean he was literally the Bechor. Plus, says Rabbi Yochanan, when it says Shalom, there was no fourth son, Shalom. Shalom is Tzidkiyahu. What? But it says in the Pasuk, the third son was Tzidkiyahu, and the fourth son was Shalom. So how did that make sense? That means, says Rabbi Yochanan, the third in line of birth, he was Tzidkiyahu. And he was the fourth one, however, in terms of the Malchus. And why do we call him these names? Which neither of which was his real name, as we'll see. He was called Tzidkiyahu Shetzideka Lav Midat Hadin, because Nebuchadnezzar changed his name to Tzidkiyahu as saying, God will be matzdik my din if I take it out on you, if you rebel against me. And that's exactly what happened. And Tzidkiyahu accepted that horrible din in which he was blinded, his kids were murdered in front of him. It was a horrible, horrible end. And why is he called Shalom? Shebiyamav Shalma Malchut Beit David. Because he was the end, so we call him Fini. That's the pshat, Shalom. But it wasn't really his name. And neither of them were his name, because Lo Shalom, actually his name was neither Shalom, nor was it Tzidkiyahu. His real name was Matanya, who just got into the army, so he should have Hatzlach. But his real name was Matanya, and Hadu Dichsiv, Melech Bavel Vayamlech Melech Bavel at Matanya Dodo Tachta. So when Nebuchadnezzar made Yoyachin's uncle, and that was, this was Yechoniah, because Yechoniah was a grandson of Yoshiyahu, so he took Matanya, who was a son of Yoshiyahu, an uncle of Yechoniah, and he made him king instead, because Paro Necho had knocked out Yoyachin. So fine, so he made him Yechoniah's uncle, and he changed his name. Vayasev et shmo Tzidkiyahu. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Now, let's get back to discussing the Oren HaBris. So Rabbi Yochanan says, the Oren HaBris, remember we had the big machlokas and Maseches Kelim, we had three different sizes of ames. So we had the Ama Kitana, which was 5 Tvachim, we had the Ama Beninis, that was 6 Tvachim, and then we had the Amma that was extended Truth is, we had two amas that were extended, either by an eighth or by a quarter of a tefa. That was the whole, the shnei amas that were on top of Shushan Habira. But what we're talking about in Amma Beinonis over here was the Amma Shal Shisha Tvachim. So Rabbi Yochanan says, the Arein HaBris was Shisha Tvachim. Now we know that there was a big machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in Kalim, whether the Amma of the Kalim was Chamisha Tvachim or Shisha Tvachim. So this is going a libra Rabbi Meir. The Tanan, because in the Mishnah in Kalim, it says Rabbi Meir over Kol HaAmot HaYu Beinoniyot, all of the Amas of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash were Shisha Tvachim. Over there, it says that this one place where this is not true is on the Mizbeach HaKteres. Okay, but we're not going to deal with that here. So we'll pretend that this is consistent in Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda says, all of the Amis that were Binyanim, those indeed were six Tvachim. But the Amis of the Kalim and the Oren was a Kli. So on the Amis of the Kalim were five Tvachim. So I'll die to the Rebbe Meir Damar ba'ama shal shisha tvachim ayah aron asui. So now I'm going to explain, says Rabbi Yochanan, the way that the Arein HaBris was constructed and how it was that the Luchais and the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, how it was included in the Arein. So now, assuming that we're talking about an Amma of six tvachim, the length of the Arein was 15 tvachim, because it says amataim v'chetzi orko. Okay, each amta is ashita. So one amma is six, another amma is ashita, another amma is six, and a palgut amma is three, six, six, and three equals 15. Okay, here's how we fit in the luchas. There were four luchas. Two of these luchas were shlemim, and two of these luchas were broken. But we could fit them back together again and put them into place into the Arein. How do we know that the broken ones were included? Dichtiv asher shibarta v'samtem baron. So we're darshaning that the words, haluchot arishonim asher shibarta, the asher shibarta is connected to v'samtem baron. All right. So now, each one of these luchos, the broken ones, when they were fit back together again, and the whole ones, were six tvachim long, kol echad v'echad arko shisha tvachim, and we're three tvachim wide. Now, this is totally against the Sugya in Bava Basra, where over there, it says that there were six tvachim, they were square. So, Rav Kanievsky wants to suggest that it's not necessarily a machlokas ha-sugya, and that Yerushalmi is referring to the thickness of the luchas, which also, according to the Bavli, was three tvachim. So, we're going to see later on in the sugya that remarkably, one of the shitas is that the luchais were a magical hypertexting crystal in which wherever you looked at the luchais, on any side, you saw an exact replication of the writing. So there was no way to identify where the writing was. The writing was innate in the crystal, and however you viewed the crystal, front, back, side, side, you saw exactly the same thing. So it was a tetragram, is the way the Gemara puts it later on. So it was a cubic tetragram, which projected the writing from inside on all sides. We'll see even more. This is the incredible Gemara that I've told you over so many times that describes multiplexing, which is something that had only been thought up in the 20th century. And literally explains multiplexing in terms of waves, literally waves. I'm not saying it's a mushel to multiplexing. It talks about multiplexing wave information, which is absolutely astonishing. So, okay, so we'll get to there. So now, assuming that we put the width of the luchot, and that would be 4 times 3 would be 12. So I've fit the 12 widths along the length of the 15 tefachs of the Arein, we still have 3 tvachim left on the side, right? So, okay. Now, those 3 tvachim that were left on the side, you need, since obviously the measurement of the Arein was the measurement of the box of the Arein from the outside, it was not a measurement from the inside. Now, the box of the Arein itself was a chatzi tefach. So you have to take off a half a tefach for each side of the aron itself, and that leaves you two tefachim. In the remaining two tefachim, there is room for putting in the Sefer Torah of Moshe, which when it was rolled up was only two tefachim wide, which is quite natural, and six tefachim long, which is the proper relationship between the length and height of a Sefer Torah. So it would go directly to the side. Now let's take a look at how wide the Aron is. So the Aron is nine tefachim wide, because it says Amma v'chetzi rochbo, one Amma is six, that's Hashita, half an Amma is three, and that's nine, and you had four luchas, two of them were whole, two of them were broken, which we learn from the Pasuk, Asher Shibarta, the Samtem Baron. Each one of these luchas were six tefachim, and they were three tefachim wide, again, according to Rav Kanievsky, it means on the side. Tein or kan shaluchot. Now take the six tefachim length of these four luchot, and they are going to be arranged along the nine tefachim width of the orain. You now have three tefachim left on the top and the bottom. One half a tefach on the top goes to the box. One half a tefach on the bottom goes to the box. You're left with a half a tefach on either side. Tefach, chatz tefach mikan. And this leaves you tfachayim. Those tfachayim were for sticking your fingers in, l'shilut, to be able to remove the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was on the side of the luchas. And the way we had it before, there was no room to get it in and out, because it was stuffed up against the length. So the only way to get in and out was by putting your fingers on top and on the bottom. And that way you could also move the luchos up and down. Reb Shimon ben Lakish Omar, he disagrees, and he goes according to the Shita of Reb Yehuda, that the Amma bat chamishat vachim haya aron asui. Who is the Mandi Omar in the Mishnah in Kehilim, mantana ba'amma bat chamishat vachim? That's Reb Yehuda. The Tanin and Taman we learn in Mishnah in Kehilim, Reb Yehuda, imer, Amas habinyan was shisha, but the Amas hakelim was chamisha. Now, the Aron was a kli. So the way that it would work out, says Reish Lakish al Daita de Reb Yehuda, who says that Ba'amah shel chamishat vachim haya arko asui. So now let's figure out. You have 12 and a half amas is its length. Why? Because it says, amatayim v'chetzi arko. One amma is 10. The other amma, one amma is 5. The other amma is 5. Now you've got a half an amma. Pal gutamsta is 2.5. 10 and 2.5 gives you a total of 12 and a half tefachim in length. You had four luchos. Two of them were shleimim, two of them were shvurim, because he also darshans, asher shivarta v'samtem baron. Now, each one of the luchos, he agrees, was six tefachim long and three tefachim wide. Now, take the length, width of the luchos, okay? Put the four luchos, each one of which was three tefachim wide or thick, depending on what pshat we take, gives us 12 tefachim. That left us 12 out of the 12 and a half tefach. All that you had left was a chatzi tefach. According to Reish Lakish, the thickness of the wall was only one etzpa, which is a quarter of a tefach, and not a chatzi tefach. So you took off one etzpa to the wall on one side, on the right, one side on the left, and left you one etzpa on either side. And that gave you an extra etzpa, which obviously you couldn't have put the Sefer Torah in. Now, the rochbo shel aron, according to Reish Lakish, would have been 7.5, because it says amma v'chetzi rochbo. Okay, one amma is 5. Palgus amma is 2.5. Together, 7.5. Four luchot, shnaim shleimim, shnaim shvurim, as it says, asher shibarta, samtem ba'aron, rochban, shlosha tvachim, put the six tvachim, the orchan, along the width of the aron. The aron was 7.5. You're left with one tefach and a half, right? That gives you, if you take off an etzpa for the kotel on top and an etzpa for a kotel on the bottom, that two etzpots are a chatzi tefach. So you're left with one tefach. After that, you're left with a full chatzi tefach. Chatzi tefach mikan and chatzi tefach mikan. So now the chatzi tefach mikan u mikan, that would be for the shilut of the luchot. But there was no Sefer Torah in the Aron. Ketzad asa betzalel et Aharon? He made the Oren, Rabbi Hanina says, he made the Oren m'sholosh tevot, shtayim shel zahav, acha shel etz. There was one wooden box, and there were two very thin metallic boxes that were made out of solid gold. He put the zahav inside of the etz, and he put the etz inside of the larger zahav, which ended up meaning that it was completely covered. And that is mibayet umichutz, he's darshaning as meaning, not mibayet umichutz of the inside box, but rather use the outside of a gold box and the inside of a gold box to cover the wooden box. Brilliant, right? And then what is the extra word where it says again, v'tzipito tozahav tor mibayet umichutz, and then it says at the end of the pasuk, titzapenu. Why does it say titzapenu if you just did that? Titzapenu means la visfato elyonah. You have to cover the upper piece that wasn't covered by the lower pieces. So it means you needed to extend the box over the upper rim as well. So Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish doesn't darshan in that way. He says, no, it was one box and you coated it with gold. Of that box, not with the other boxes. So according to Reish Lakish, why does it say tetzapenu? Since there's no difference between the rim and anything else, according to him, it just means cover the box. Amar Rabbi Pinchas, that means that the edges need to be overlapped with zahav. So even though like this, if it wouldn't have said that, I would have been able to see that there were separate pieces that put together the box. But now that I need to use tetzapenu to cover over the places where the boards meet, so it means it was like solid gold is what I saw.
Tzum is alternating wood and gold boxes, one within the other.
Makes sense. They would learn from the Oren. Ketzad hayu haluchot ketuvim. So now, how did we get the information onto the luchos? So Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel said, that's the way that everybody believes. We had five tzivuyim on one luach and five on the other luach, and that's the Ten Commandments, five and five. And it says, adu dechtiv vayichtevim, he wrote all of the Dibros on two luchot. The Rabbanan say no. Listen, the luchot abrit are a contract. They're a brit. You don't give half a contract to one party and take the other half of a contract to the other party. You make a copy of the contract, a complete copy of the contract. So the luchot abrit had to be 10 and 10. One copy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one copy for us, and then we deposited it in the safe that nobody was allowed to touch. So it's mamish the luchot abrit. So of course you had to have all 10 dibros on each one of the luchas. That would be nutty. So therefore, it had to be asara luachze, v'asara luachze. Hada hu dechtiv. V'yaged lechem et brito asher tzivatchem la'asot, aseret hadvarim. And then afterwards it says, v'yichtevim al shnei luchot avanim. Meaning, he wrote the Aseret HaDvarim al Shnei Luchot Avanim. So that would mean Asara Luach Zeh and Asara Luach Zeh. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, but wait a minute. The Luchais were readable on both sides, right? So it's actually 20 on each. So Esrim al Luach Zeh, Esrim al Luach Zeh. That's the Pashtus, is that it's going, again, the way the Reed Baz learns, this is the first step towards the Nais, that they were written, but the writing came out in different places. Okay, but the Pashtus is that this is the same as Mizeh Mizehim Ketuvim. So that gets us 20. Rabbi Simoi says, no, it was a Tatroga, 40 on each, because this was a magic crystal in which the writing in one place was seen anywhere you looked at it as if that was the front. So it appeared on all four sides. So it's Arba'im Aluachzeh, the Arba'im Aluachzeh, because each one of the Luchot included the full copy of the Aseret HaDvarim, which were the Tnai Abrit, and it says Mizeh Umizehim Ktuvim, and that equals Tetroga, so it's a cube. Chananya ben Achi Reb Yeshua Omer, you should know that in the space between each one of the Dibrais, the entire Torah appeared. All the Dikdukim, all the Osir Shel Torah, each mitzvah with all of its Torah Shebal Peh, it was all on the Luchas. Dechsiv Mumulaim Batarshish. It was filled the way the ocean is filled. The same way that the Kiyama Rabbah, The way that the ocean can contain information. Says Reb Shimon ben Lakish, I never understood that until when my Hananya ben Achi Reb Yoshua, he taught me such an amazing explanation. What in the world does the yam have to do with the dikta and Eiser Shel Torah? So he explained to me, if you take a look at the yam, there are different waves, and there's wavelets on those waves, right? Now, each one of those waves, if we consider it to be representing a piece of information, would be able to represent information on its wavelets, and between those wavelets, you get additional wavelets, in which case, if you use multiplexing waves, you could get in an immense amount of information in what appears to be a very tiny space of one simple wave. So the same way that Ma'ayamazeh ben Gal Gadol le Gal Gadol, you still have plenty of Galim Ktanim, the same thing is true ben Kol Dibur v'Dibur, that Diktukei Avot Yoter Shel Torah were carried on the Luchos as multiplexed information that existed between the elements of the Ksav of the Luchos itself. Omar Rebbe Tanchuma, I noted as a kasha to Rebbe Pinchas, it kashayet kami Rebbe Pinchas, that the pasuk only seems to make sense like Rebbe Yehuda and not like Rebbe Meir. Look at this pasuk. My time in Rebbe Yehuda. Nechtiv, lokoach et sefer Torah zeh v'samtem oto mitzad Aron Brit Hashem. Okay? So Rebbe Yehuda, who says that the sefer Torah was not inside, he explained the entire contents in terms of the Luchos. He didn't leave any place for the sefer Torah of Moshe. The Rabbanan left place for the sefer Torah of Moshe inside. So that was Rebbe Meir Shita. So Al Daita de Rebbe Yehuda, it says in the Pasuk, take the Sefer Torah and put it mitzad Aron Brit Hashem. Put it on the side. So Rebbe Yehuda understands that that means, Hechan haya Sefer Torah natun, k'min gluski ha'asuyin lo mibachutz. They made like hanging off of the Aron. They made like a small box or container. It's like a tick for a Sefer Torah that would hang on the Aron. And why is Sefer Torah natun betocho? And Rebbe Meir holds that it was put inside. So why does he understand it? My time of the Rebbe Meir says Rebbe Meir, well, listen, take a look at the psukim and when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to put the luchos in, and you'll see that obviously it was inside because it says what's the way in which we put it? It says v'nasata el Aaron et ha'idut asher etene lecha, right? Then after that it says, "V'natata et hakaporet al Aaron milamala, vet ve'el Aaron titene ta'idut asher etene lecha." This makes sense. The first pasuk says, "V'natata el Aaron ta'idut asher etene lecha." Then it says, "Put the kaporas on the Aaron," and then it says, "Put in the edus asher etene lecha." I mean, this is a stira within three lines. So how do you understand this? I'll tell you. It's very simple. When we first put the Luchos HaBris into the Orein that Bezalel made, there was no Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah was only finished at the end of 40 years. So Moshe Rabbeinu was still writing. So how could I say to put the Torah in? So that's what I'm saying. Put the Eidus into the, meaning the Luchos, put the Luchos into Bezalel's Orein. Cover it up, put it into the Mishkan. At the end of 40 years, when you'll have a Sefer Torah, then the El Aaron into the completed Aaron titene ta'edut asher etene lecha afterwards, because the Sefer Torah, remember, is also, Moshe Rabbeinu has said, says take it, it says to Yoshua, and it should be v'hayasham b'chol ha'ed mitzad Aaron bris Elokim. So that means inside, obviously, right? How could you learn that it was outside, Tainus Rebbe Meir? It's beautiful, no? Mamish, amazing. And we'll just get up to the Mishnah. So Rebbe Yehuda is going to have to say, okay, it's very weird, but ein hachinami, ein muktam u'mukhar b'Torah. And the Torah is just saying, you will have already placed it. V'el Aaron titene te'edut asher etene lecha, v'nasata sekaporas al Aaron milamala, even though it's out of order. Okay, that's what we'll have to say. Rebbe Pinchas b'shem Reish Lakish, ha'Torah sh'natan lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, was a Torah that was written in pure white, was written against the background of pure white energy, nitnalo esh levana, charuta be'esh shechora, and it had a dark like sunspots. So it had like an esh shechora on top of the esh levana. And the Torah itself is esh. and it's mixed with these different types, muvlalat ba'esh, and it's chatzuva out of pure esh, and it was given out of the esh on Har Sinai. And that's why it's called mimino esh dat lama, that the Sefer Torah itself is made out of pure energy.